slow to learn.
You got a question?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we do have a question. Hold on. We'll pause this and. All right. So continuing on, for it's called slow to learn. Now, reason why I do this, if think about it, if you sent your child to school, if you sent your child to school and let's say they're in the first grade, and when you walked in the classroom, you saw they learned 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, and you see that they're learning, you know, arithmetic. This is great. Now, at the end of their first year of school year and all that, okay, they have this and they come to you and you say, okay, first grade is over. You ready for second grade? And they say, let me show you what I learned the whole entire school year. 1 + 1 = 2. Wait. That's like every day we came in, we went over different ways, fabulous stories, pictures of understanding that 1 + 1 = 2. The problem here is maybe the first time they told you that, you'd be like, amen. Okay? You heard that, I think after 2 weeks, if they came back and I saw they learned was 1 + 1 = 2, you'd be furious. Amen? You'd be downright furious of, wait a minute, what are you doing in all this time? Not only do our kids go to schools and they have to learn that one thing in arithmetic, they have to learn reading, they have to learn this, they have to learn that, all this stuff. Now, we hear that, and we don't realize when we do go to church, most times we get a piece or a fraction of what we call a sermon. For an hour, they'll go over a topic that can be so small. And the problem is us. Do y'all get this? Like church service, I remember growing up, used to be hours. And we used to joke about it. Now, sometimes they would do it just to fill up the time and make you be there. Other times, it's to teach you, it's to feed you. And I understand that concept. My job is to feed. Okay, and I understand that. And if people are really hungry, they'll break their neck to get that. Usually, people break their neck to get out. You understand that? Now, fleshly, I could take that personal. Oh, they want to leave. Spiritually, I just got to do what God says. Because you feed, those who want to eat will eat. When he means slow to learn, as we're about to read, he's showing we're mostly there. And the slow to learn is not based on the teaching, even though the teaching is doing wrong. It's based on us and our feeding habits. Do you understand that? We just went there and said, today, can we go over 1 + 1 = 2? And that's all I want. Give me a nice story that'll be fascinating, that'll make me feel good. And I'll leave out here even knowing more. 1 + 1 = 2. And not realizing that I'm not going to make it to the second grade and I'm in trouble in life if that's all I know. Does that make sense? So that's my physical example of what's happening to us spiritually. Look what he says here in your page where it says Christians today are biblically illiterate. It says in Hebrews 5:9-13. That's not an insult. It's something we got to understand. I'll explain why. He says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obeyed him and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, he stopped there because he's saying, I got this incredible thing to tell you about Jesus that you really need to know. But look what he says. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Okay? He's saying, I can't go no further because you're still on 1 + 1 = 2, and I'm in this college application where you're supposed to be. I have all this information to give you, but you're still on 1 + 1 = 2. And he didn't say you're on 1 + 1 = 2 because you have a learning disability. It's because we're slow to learn. He's showing, in fact, though, by this time you ought to be. Did y'all catch this? He's not saying, you know what I mean, it would be nice if you would be. He's saying by this time, it's showing that God is showing a pace that we are expected to go on. But if we choose not to, we're still expected to be there. He's going to allow stuff in life to happen to us. Do you understand that? In other words, you're still going to go through grades. If you fail, you fail. And it will be our fault because I'm slow to learn. Does that make sense? A lot of stuff that I'm going to go through and it's going to deal with is going to be because I should have been prepared for it. But because I was slow to get there, I'm missing out. And he's showing this. He's saying, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. As a Christian, that, like it said in 1 Peter, we're supposed to crave pure spiritual milk. But that's why that's so important. If I was really craving pure spiritual milk, by now, the milk wouldn't be enough. Okay, I'm done with the milk. I need solid food. But a lot of us are still just drinking pure spiritual milk. Pastor, come in here and give me some elementary teaching that doesn't go over my head, that I really don't have to think about, that I really don't have to change. And then I'm going to go home and do my thing because I'm Mr. Christian. And then life happens. And I'm wondering, why am I still struggling in life? Because there's a bunch of stuff I needed to know to deal with what I was getting ready to deal with. Right? If I took my grandbaby and I put her out there right to life and say, okay, you got to get a job, you got an apartment, by next week I need you to do everything for life. That'd be suicide. Am I right? Okay? And that would be the danger. I would be called abusive in doing that. But that's exactly what we're doing. And God is saying, I'm preparing you. You're just not being prepared. Do y'all get this? And he says, how do you know this? He says, someone needs to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about the righteousness of Christ. So in other words, he's saying, if you're still on milk and I'm 18 years old, there's a problem. In fact, if you're still on milk and you're 7 years old, there's a problem. We even go lower than that, am I right? In other words, I should be at a pace. And this is why I have down there, slow to learn is not implying a learning disability, but a choice of lacking urgency to knowing Christ. Right? Now, we're going to see why this is, but you got to make the choice to change it. This is not a, okay, amen, and we move on. You have to get this because God is saying all these things that happen in life, a lot of steps you're going to go through that you're tripping over that are baffling you and shaking you up, you had the answer. You just didn't get there yet. I just didn't get there yet because I didn't work at the pace that I'm supposed to work. So why is that? Why are so many slow to learn? First of all, they allow too many distractions to make the word ineffective in their lives. The key word, allow. Look what it says in Luke 8. 14, it says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. Okay, so first of all, they come and they get the word. They hear it, but it says, but as they go on their way, they are choked by, now watch this, life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. Basic things that we have in life right now, we allow. Everybody say allow. We allow these things to take the word and then the word's gone. You'll talk more of how work stressed you out, more of did you see what happened on that television show, more of maybe sports, more of how you're feeling about certain person, more, you know, all this stuff, and we get choked. It says they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. It doesn't choke you. I allow myself to allow it to choke me. Does that make sense? I'm allowing it to. He tells us about worries. He tells us about riches, and he tells us about pleasure. If I was faster to learn. But I'm allowing those things to keep me from learning. Amen? All right? Think about it. You see people who go to work sick and everything messed up. Why? Because I got to go to work. We revere work more than we revere God. But like I said, it comes to God, we'll go, I was going to go, but. And it'll be some excuse of I was tired, I didn't feel like I and once again, this is not a shot at not going, it's a hurting on you of but I have to go. When you get that mentality, no, I have to go, this is my responsibility and it's only for me because I'm getting ready to face something. So every day when I think of my prayers and my study and all that, I know I'm going to face something, and when I slow down, I'm hurting me. Does that make sense? I'm hurting me. Okay, the teacher at one school I went to, and he was notorious for doing this. Every test had something he would teach that wasn't in the book. Okay, you try to get some people's notes. Sometimes you do everything. You're double studying instead of just going to class. All right, and you get the test, and only ones that aced it that were there every single class. And people revered, which was scary because revering a class. But we don't do that with God. We'll pray, and God, why aren't you doing this? And we feel bad. Instead of him going, I got this whole list. You got where I'm coming from? That I gave you the answer, and you're asking me for the answer. And you already have it. He's saying they allow these things to choke them, and they do not mature. Also, they don't see the importance of maturing, so there is no effort. You know, why mature? You know, there's no effort. Look what, in these two examples, maturing is something we must choose to do. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. The important part of this is it understands in an immaturity certain things you're going to do. What it doesn't say in the next line is, when I became a man, those things went away. Did you notice that? Look what it says. It says, when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. The excuses and the things we did as a child, there's no excuse for now. Did y'all get this? there are certain people, as we mature, we'll even use it. Yeah, they always did that, even as a kid. Then why are you still doing it now? Does that make sense? Why are we still being immature? He's saying it's something that I have to make up my mind. Wait, I'm no longer a child. There is no excuse for this. Do y'all get this? So it is right as your children get older to say, you know better than this. There is. You may see the younger ones doing something. You say to them, wait, I know they're doing that. And they'll get in trouble. But you know better than this. And you're teaching them this of there's a time when this has to go. When this time is over. And we as Christians should know better than this. If I'm still stuck on the basic things, I need to readjust my priorities. Does that make sense? Okay, I need to really get this and understand it. I have to make the decision to put away those childish things and start gaining the mature things. Okay, and it also shows we must make up our minds to keep spiritually maturing. Maturing is a choice. It says in Hebrews 6, 1 to 3, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Did y'all catch that? It's not as you get older, you will mature. Did you notice it didn't say that? It's saying, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ. Not leave them by not doing them. It means you should have them mastered. They should become so secondhand that you're ready for that part that he was getting ready to speak to them about. But if you're still just craving pure spiritual milk, the example is you got this 20-year-old who's still drinking, breast milk. We have for dinner breast milk. You go, what is the matter with you? Because there is a time where that's not going to nourish him. It's not going to work. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand that? Okay? And that's why he shows not laying again the foundations of repentance from the acts that lead to death and the faith of in God, instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. In other words, we're letting go of the things because we already know them. These things are going to be things that you should be an expert at, because those are elementary. Those are foundational elementary that basic know. Now we should be moving on to some complex things. I see people go through some complex things, and then when I give the complex answer, I lost them. What makes it hard as a pastor is I didn't lose them because, and I know sometimes I can go in circles, and as my wife can tell you, I can talk a lot. But there's sometimes where I'll give a basic thing that the Bible says, and you kind of get a, and I get it. Because if I'm not mature enough to get it, it's like me talking to one of the kids. You tell one of the kids about taxes. Tell one of the kids, you know, about what life's going to bring. They're taxes. What is that? You know what I mean? It's going to go over their head because they're not mature enough to get it. And we have to recognize that. But there's a time where I reach a certain point, and then I have to leave that so I can start getting the more advanced things. Does that make sense? Everybody understand that? Okay, so we have to make sure we make up that decision to do it. Now, the worth of maintaining God's word is not appreciated. It's not appreciated. Once again, people will be breaking their necks and saying, one more, pastor, keep going. Do you understand? Not, what time are you done? Okay, and I get it. I get it because we say, and I've heard people say, that's a lot of information. I get a lot of stuff. And there was a time fleshly where I would go, yeah, I get it, to where you'll watch people when they do something they enjoy or something that they're forced to do for their work. Oh, they'll do it. Well, how come that wasn't too much? Because the worth of that meant more to you, that temporary thing, than God did. Does that make sense? Okay, and it shows us in Romans 1:28. He says, furthermore, and remember we were talking about the wrath of God. It says, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Did y'all catch that? So he's saying this is what happened to man. And since man didn't think it worthwhile, you know what I mean? I'm going to go out of my way to get this word. And I want to make sure I understand it. I want to make sure I apply it. You don't see man doing it. He said, oh, yeah, I went to church. And what are you preaching? Something. I got to look it over again. And maybe I will. And I got other stuff to do. But we'll remember songs. We'll remember all the other stuff in our lives except the most important eternal thing. You'll remember some temporary thing that might have helped you years ago. Does that make sense? And will do me no good now. Instead of this eternal thing of God that covers everything. They did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God. So watch what God did. He gave them over to a depraved mind. What does that mean? So you'll think and live foolishly. And when he didn't give us depraved mind, he gave us over to it. And what does that mean when he says he gave us over? It means that man, when he didn't show the worth of God's word, he was like, okay, I'll lean you over to your own way of thinking. Right now, man thinks he's brilliant, thinks he has stuff figured out. Even outthinks God. Like we were talking about the bread. Some man thought of, I don't see a problem with that. In their meaningless thinking. And you'll still see men get mad at God. Because God did this, I'm not going to. You ever see people run into that? They almost threaten God with what they're not going to do while you're realizing, wait, he died for me. Do you want to go to hell? You can go to hell. If that's your choice, that's your choice. He's making all these opportunities, and I'm showing him I'm mad at him. I'm not going to church because I'm mad at God. God does this, I'm never coming to. I'm going to turn. Go ahead and do it now. But you're the one that's in trouble. You're the one that's doomed. This is all for you. But once again, if we still live as children, we don't know that difference. He understands that he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. We'll reason like we have today to do stuff that we have no business doing. That's why, like I said, lifestyles, how we check our relationships, we just do them like it's just another thing. Why? It's no big deal. Because our minds are too immature not to. Right? I mean, you see a baby take something, they hit for a plug. Why do you think we put the guards in here? Do we put the guards in the plugs for the adults? I see Lisa was on her cue. She should have left first. But no, we do not. We do it for the children. Because you see a child do it, it's like, oh, that's why you got to cover up the plugs. Instead of training them, and it's a training thing, that's a whole other story. But if you saw an adult walking towards, you would kind of, wait, what is the matter? Right? Am I right? You would, wait, what are you doing? Okay? Because we're doing stuff that makes no sense. While we, once again, have all this faith, we're still doing stuff as Christians. So where he's saying, go ahead. And God is showing us, and he's not being mean when he goes, no better for you. I gave you everything, and you still choose. Do y'all get this? He's not doing it to be mean. He loves us, but how many times does he have to keep opening for us, and we keep doing, you know what I mean? We have every answer, and we keep doing the wrong answer. It's like him going, I'm going to give you this test. The answer is going to be A, B, C. That's it. Multiple choice. All right, first one, D. When did I ever say D? Why are you picking D? You know what I mean? I gave you all the answers. And after a while, when you get to the last one, okay, go ahead and put D. Failed. God, why have you done this to me? And that's what we do in life. He's like, I gave you all the answers. This is on you. And he's not doing it to be mean. He's doing it because you choose. Do y'all get this? Everybody get this? Okay, so please understand that. It's very important. And that's what he's showing. He gave them over to the depraved mind. It says they think as long as they say we are Christians, then we are considered Christ's family. But it's not those that say it, it's those that do it. Watch this. Luke 8:21. And the doing is such an important part of us getting an understanding of the word. Okay, you'll see at the end of this where we break down. Part of understanding is the applying and continually doing that whole process. And that's why he says in Luke 8:21, he replied, and that's when the people brought and said, here's your mother and your brother. And he says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word. And he didn't stop there. Did y'all catch that? There's a ton of people who go to church. They hear it. They may even say amen. They may even understand it. But he didn't stop there. He says, those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Implying, if I don't do that whole package, I'm not part of his family. Do y'all see this? So it's a practice I have to do. Okay? So in order for me to first do what he tells me, I got to hear his word. Then I got to do it. And the more I do that, you're going to notice it gets me to that learning, gets that understanding. It really breaks us into where we need to be. People are not living using God's wisdom. Okay? We're using others' wisdom, human wisdom, using our own experience wisdom, using our parents' wisdom, but we're not using God's wisdom. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There are some things happening in life right now. And this is why he says we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, the importance of that is me to recognize by sight is going to be foolishness. Now, in saying that, you still see people making more fleshly or sight decisions than we are making godly decisions. Right? In other words, when I hear people say I did this, why? Because the Bible says that's wisdom. You understand that? If I truly trust in God, that's when I heard somebody do it and they go, well, I thought, well, the way I felt, well, I saw them do it and it worked. I heard all these are senses. That's foolishness. You got where I'm coming from? When he says the one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, recognize he is the rock. Do you notice in the song we sing, he's my solid rock. All other ground is. And what other ground? All other ground. That includes all of it. So then why do we sing that and we say amen at the end of it and then we still go out and put our stuff in sinking sand? We still follow practices of these other people who have died and have messed up and have gone the long way and they're wrong and we're still following their ways. Does that make sense? Godly wisdom is, I just want to see what he says and that's what I'm doing. But we don't do that. And this is why it's missed out and this is why we're still learning slow. People are not using the right resources to understand the word. Okay? He gives us what's needed to understand the word. This is an important one here. All of it is important, of course, but this is an important one for us to recognize. I need a translation to my book. I need something to explain. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. He said he does not accept things come from... Sister Bree was asking, if there are people who are living lifestyles that if I explain to them that lifestyle is wrong and they're not a Christian, they're not going to understand it. If I explain to them that God showed this is wrong, they're not going to understand this. You get where I'm coming from? He not only says not going to understand it, it says for their foolishness to him and he cannot understand it. Y'all get this? So it's not only that he's refusing, not that he's just refusing to understand it, he can't. Because it makes no sense when it's based on sense. You understand? So when you see Christians, they doing marches and we say some of these things that are biblically known and political stances and we have these things against it. You're saying stuff to people and we just look evil because it was never meant for us to give these pearls a swine. They can't understand it. But we are not using the tools. This is the other part. So now here we are Christians, have the Holy Spirit, and we just leave them back there. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? One teacher... In that same school, as he was teaching, said, what you don't understand in here, if you go read the chapter that we're going over, you'll get clearer understanding. And there were people who didn't buy the book, some people who didn't reread the book. Do you understand that? In other words, to get better understanding, we have the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says here, he cannot understand it, them because they are spiritually discerned. How come I'm not relying on the Spirit? I'm relying on my intelligence, my experience, what you said, what he said, what pastor said. No. What that means is saying use the Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows me how to use the Bible to understand the Bible. I remember one foolish thing, and you still hear some say it today, but it was a very foolish thing. And if you hear people say it, understand it, it's foolish. And the Bible shows that. It says everyone has a different interpretation of the Bible. And they use it as that's why you're going to hear different things. Almost like that's a good that everybody has different interpretation of the Bible. What's foolish about it is I shouldn't be interpreting the Bible. The Bible even lets me know all interpretations are for God. So that means let the Bible interpret the Bible. Now we all have the same answer. It would be called chaos if I went through my interpretation, you had your interpretation. All of us would have to have a turn at preaching our interpretation. Yeah, we'll go, Keith, that's nice. Now here's my interpretation. Somebody else, yeah, that sounds good. But here's my interpretation. That's chaos. True interpretation is one. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We understand that it's all based on him. So if I don't use the Spirit to understand it, I'm not going to understand it. And that's why sometimes I struggle sometimes with, what's the group out there? You have a group out there to try to prove God. They're apologists, yes. The apologists. And when they go, and I understand what they're trying to do, but they intellectually try to teach God. And you can't teach God intellectually. You have to teach God spiritually. That's it. And you see it in those four realms I keep telling you that we keep living in. Because every time somebody does that intellectually, I can intellectually now disprove them. And you're going to go back and forth. And God was never meant for us to do intellectually, get it? Because man can't get it. He doesn't have the tools to get it. A major reason an effort is not made to aggressively learn is because people have distorted perceptions of God. The one that you heard on video of the sermon, let us know most of us are not worshiping God. We're worshiping our perception of God. We've already formed what God should be. It always blows my mind when people go, oh, my God wouldn't, and then they fill in the blanks. You're like, well, but that's not what the Bible says, so who is your God? Because you're definitely not worshiping God. But a lot of people have this vision of God doing what you think is right. There are going to be some catastrophes and things happening in your life. I think people, if they looked at the Bahamas and have their perception, why would God allow this to happen? Christians would know, oh man, we could be next. Do you understand that? Man, you know what I mean? You prepare because that could have been us. You'd understand it in a spiritual way. Humans just do the, oh, I can't believe God did. Do you understand what he should have done? And not just the Bahamas, we're talking about the world. All of us. You understand? But if we miss it, we'll go off based off of how we see it and how we think God should do it. But it shows in Malachi 3, 13 to 15. This is what people say. Now watch this. And this is prophesied back then. We show this today. I'm going to show you what people do and we allow ourselves to believe. He says in Malachi 3, 13 to 15, he says, "You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you?" And he's going to tell us. "You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." So in other words, by sight, we're looking at, here I am serving God, and the people that look like they're prospering are the ones that aren't serving God. And he's letting you know this is foolish. You understand? Once again, by faith, I'm not looking at my outcome. By faith, I'm looking at what he says. Do you understand that? All right. But he's saying there's people out there, and we say it in our minds and we say it in our lives. That's why you see people go to church for a while and then they're gone for a long while and then they don't. Why? Because you're kind of going, this is no big. Why am I doing this? And I mean, I'm sure of us felt that way, but how many of us followed through with it? Okay. And the only ones that will do it if you're walking by anything else other than faith. Because you're looking at, if I do this, then God's going to do this. That's not faith. Please understand that. Okay? True faith is, I'm doing this and I know I'm blessed. May not see it right now. Do you get it? I know I'm blessed. And you'll understand that. We're going to see a response to this. You're going to see the group that's against this a little later in this. So what are the consequences for staying in the path of those that are slow to learn? So we understand the biggest reasons why we are slow to learn. And you can see it's our choice. You know, where we're putting the word, it's all us. This is not because, and like I said, teacher's not teaching. But if you notice who he blamed that on, he says people will gather around them, teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I get it. As a pastor, I get it. I get more of, can we get less of that? Could you cut that in half? Maybe can you shorten that? I heard more of that than, no, keep giving it to us. We'll get it. I need as much as I can get. Do you hear that? Okay? You get more of that, and we'll go to places that will give us those feel-good messages and go, that's what I want. Less responsibility, less this, less that. We're doing a whole bunch of things that look good. The world counts as good because we're doing a lot of services, doing a lot of stuff, but I'm not learning anything. Amen? And that's the problem. I'll still be slow to learn, but I'll feel good about what I'm doing. And that's the problem. We're based on our feelings and stuff like that. So what are the consequences? First of all, the Bible lets us know that we must walk by faith. Without growing in the word, we will lack that faith. So you hear me saying the main reason we're messing up is by we keep walking by sight. Why? Because we lack faith. Right? If I don't have the glasses, I can't use the lens to walk by. I won't be able to see until I get the right lens. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. There's two parts in there that come together as one. First of all, I have to hear the message. So not only am I supposed to read it, you go to church to hear the message, but he breaks it down. You don't just go to church and say, I went to church. You better make sure the message you're hearing is a message that comes from the Bible. That's why it says, and the message is the word of Christ. So if I just go to church and they say Jesus a couple of times, throw some hallelujahs and amens, and you go home and you don't check that it was the word of Christ, there's going to be no faith. Faith is pretty much non-existent today because we're not growing in faith. We're growing in emotion. We're growing in human hope. We're growing in our own outlook and not what God says. You understand that? So it's showing that we are not looking to him and following him. That's why it says faith comes from hearing, hearing from the message, and is heard through the word of Christ. So that's something we immediately understand. I got to hold you up, say, Pastor, I'm going to go home and I'm going to check this to make sure it's in the word. You understand? And I'm going to be back because I need to hear it. And then I'm going to check it. And then I'm going to check it, and I'm going to hear it. I'm going to check it, I'm going to hear it, and then I'm going to apply it. Do y'all see this? But if you don't do this, you lack faith. You don't walk by faith, you're walking by sight. Guess where you're headed? You see the pattern? One more, then we'll close. The gospel is what we are saved by only if we hold to it firmly. There's a lot of this until the end, or holding to, or only if, and he puts these ifs in here. Now I'm showing you this if, and I want you to leave with this resonating in your mind. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, it says, by this gospel you are saved. So he stopped and letting you know, this is the Bible that's going to get you in the path of salvation. Please make sure you're following it, not somebody's statement, not some man's book on it, not some minister that you respect. No, what the word said, this is the thing that's going to lead you to salvation. And he says, if, everybody say if. if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. And this one, he even gives an alternative. You understand? He's saying, so if you take it and you hold firmly. Firmly means I'm not a Christian on Monday and then somebody else on Tuesday. Maybe I'll be a Buddhist on Wednesday. I'm going to be an ignorant person on Thursday. I'm going to come back to being a Christian on Friday, hopefully learn something on Saturday, and go to church on Sunday and start all over again. And you know what I mean? And we do that. Some of us are sometimes Christians. And God's like, either you're all in or you're not. Holding firmly means every single day. So I'm going to be a Christian when I see things going one way, and I'm going to be a Christian when I see things going another way. Y'all with me? Everybody understand that? No matter what, I'm always going to be a Christian. He said, otherwise, you have believed in vain. Think about that. What he's saying is, anybody, there's a bunch of people going through the motions, and they're still going to hell. He's like, if you're not all in, go ahead. Y'all get this? That's tough. That part's tough. It shouldn't be tough. He's like, I've done everything for you, opened up every door, showed you the path, and if you still choose not to take it, go and do your thing. But those who are playing games with themselves, that's why it says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. Stop playing games with yourself, is what he's saying. So understand this, and that's a big part of it, and we're going to leave off there until next week, God willing. Any questions? Amen? All right. Praise God.